thanks for tuning in. From Municipal World, I'm Susan Gardner. This is the MW Shares podcast, where we share your stories, providing insights into the challenges and opportunities facing local governments and communities just like yours. The MW Shares podcast is powered by Shure Microphones. Joining us for this special episode of MW Shares is Joe Preston, former Member of Parliament and currently the Mayor of the City of St. Thomas, Ontario. We'll be talking about the coronavirus pandemic and what's happening now to prepare local communities. Today, you'll hear Joe's thoughts on dealing with the coronavirus, why it's important to listen to the experts, lessons learned from SARS, mindfulness around mental health and social isolation, and the impacts on small business. Welcome, Joe.
Wow, it's great to be here. I'm pretty excited.
Oh, I'm so pleased that you could come in. We're doing this special episode around the coronavirus, and I'm glad that you could come in and kind of give us a smaller community perspective on what's happening in response to the pandemic that was just announced now by the World Health Organization. But I thought it would be great if we could start with having a little bit of a conversation about you and your backgrounds.
Great. Be happy to do that.
Okay. So prior to your life as the mayor of St. Thomas, very prominent community booster, and also a four-term member of parliament for this community.
Yes. So, you know, I've kind of, you know, I say this all along. My mom used to say, being involved in your community is the price you pay for living someplace. And so we've always just done that. I've always been very community involved with my business and myself. And that turned into a, as you said, a four terms of, as a member of parliament. I didn't strive to be that as a kid. I didn't want to, you know, that wasn't something I looked forward to. But it became that, and it was an incredible experience to be able to serve the people of Elgin, Middlesex, London for almost 12 years in the Parliament of Canada. And then I retired. I said, okay, that's long enough. Most people stay too long in Ottawa, is my opinion. And so I retired. Well, I realized I found out really quickly I couldn't do nothing. I have to do something. And so I went to, I started another business and went back to the businesses I had. And they all said, you're not going to be here all day, every day, are you?
They were used to operating without you now.
No, they were doing very well operating without me. So I started another business. And after a while, a number of great friends that I had in St. Thomas came and said, well, we're going to have a municipal election next year. Why don't you do that? And I have some great friends that were on council and were running for council, Steve Peters being one of them. And we had a good conversation. And I said, you know what? I think I'll run for mayor. If I'm going to run, I'm going to run for mayor. And great. So about 500 people over time came and said, you should do this. And I thought, well, okay, sounds like fun. Let's do it. And I am so glad. It's now a year and a half later, and it is the best thing I've ever done. I think I'm a far better fit for municipal politics because I don't mind being out there and in the public. Walking Talbot Street in St. Thomas has been just the best thing ever. I have found that municipal politics, you get to solve people's problems very quickly. It's not, you know, not to say that federal politics wasn't worthwhile or we didn't get things done, but often the speed of change was glacial. It does not happen quickly. Provincially, perhaps in the middle of that, a little bit quicker. But municipally, if you walk into the right department with the right piece of paper in your hand or with the mayor's name tag on, sometimes you actually can get things done today. And it's really quite a unique feeling to be able to help your community that way.
It's rewarding.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And you've got quite an interesting council group that you're working with right now. You've got sitting around the horseshoe, you've got former mayors, former Steve Peters, former
Speaker of the House,
Speaker,
right?
Yes.
Minister of the Crown. Yeah. Two former mayors on a council of eight certainly allows the current mayor to get lots of advice. Some wanted, some not, I suppose. But people who have been there before are always a lot more helpful. The rest of the council, other save one, have all served on the council either in the previous term or terms before that. So certainly a lot of people know where they're going. One new councillor who has just been the best there could be, because you've got to have one who's going to ask the stupid question, even the rest of us wanted asked also, but the one who's going to ask that question that nobody else is going to. And so Councillor Herbert's been fantastic at bringing us all back down to why we're really there. I could not have asked for a better council. It is super strong. Do we agree on everything? No, that's not the purpose of councils. But at the end of the day, we agree that what the decision we made was right. And that's truly the heartbeat of municipal politics is councils that can work for and against each other and end up at the end of the day with a decision that we all agree with. And it really is heartwarming to know that the community is in that kind of hands.
So making the transition from federal government to local government, you had to have a few, that'd be a little bit of a learning curve, lessons learned.
Well, I did take up some stand-up comedy between the two jobs for stand-up for mental health and some yuck show even. But it does help if you don't think too much of yourself. If you can just listen to other people and have some fun doing it. So the difference truly is, as I said, you're on the ground far more from a municipal point of view. You really do know who you're helping and how much you're helping. And I think that's, not to be to say that municipal politics is irreverent. I mean, it's not. There is a level of protocol to federal politics that there isn't municipally, but there's a level of protocol even municipally. But we can have fun doing it.
And there's not always that same sense of, at least not open acrimony that we often see between opposing factions.
I never saw that in Ottawa. I have this weird personality where I got along with members of the other parties probably equally as well or better than my own friends.
I can see that.
There's some uniforms that you can wear so people know, oh, those guys are conservatives and those are liberals and those. But, even Elizabeth May and I became fast friends there too. And it is about making friends and hearing how they have to say it. Everybody went there with the same altruistic reason to make Canada a better place.
Yes.
I think everybody becomes a municipal councillor with the same altruistic reason to make their community a better place. You need to find out how did they interpret that? What did they mean by that? And so oftentimes we're not far from wrong or that different. 98% of the feeling is right on how Canada should be a better place or how St. Thomas could be a better city. And I always say, well, let's deal with that last 2% late in the day. We'll get all the other stuff done. And even by then, we might just say, good enough.
Yes. Right?
That works.
Yeah.
And sometimes, the art of compromise is the art of politics. And so if you can just put the stuff we don't disagree with away in a box until we have to deal with it, the compromise is easy. We all agree on the first stuff.
And the most important stuff.
It almost always turns out to be that way, that it is about, our differences of opinion aren't all that meaningful to the decision at the end of the day. So it's about making friends. I was quoted when I left federal politics. I said, there was four people in this place I wouldn't have over for dinner. The other 330 were fine. And of course, that was quoted in the Hill Times. And somebody, and I said, and of those four people, two are from my own party. people came up to me for the next 3 days. Am I one of those? Is that me? Right? And no, the people, they would know who they were. Look, you make, like anywhere, whether it's a school class or a workplace situation, you have people you are maybe more friendly with, but there's no reason not to be friendly with all, right? And there is kind of degrees of who I would go to get an answer on a certain subject. And I kind of became a bit of Uncle Joe. People in Parliament, I did orientation for new MPs after three different elections. So throughout the whole term, those people would come to me and say, Joe, I don't know how to ask this. Where do we find this? Or how does the private members bill get this done? Or where's the washroom in West Block? I mean, it was that type. There needs to be that type of person there that can do that. I try to find the same way of dealing with complex problems at the municipal level, and just let's just throw them out there. What part of this do we have to solve today, and what do we have to solve tomorrow?
So that kind of perspective is what you've brought back to your approach as mayor as well, which is, I'm sure it's helped endear you to the community in St. Thomas.
Well, it's working. And I mean, it's a direction I've taken even in business. Far too many small business people or entrepreneurs think they know everything. And that's usually the downfall, because they get into an area where they don't know and they have to make costly decisions. And I've learned the same thing as mayor, and I learned the same thing as the member of parliament. What I don't know, let's go find out who does. Let's have at least that conversation. I don't have to follow the advice, but I sure want to have it as part of making the decision. And then we can make it together.
So that's a good lead in to our topic today, talking about the COVID-19 and what's happening in Canada now, our communities, what's happening around the world. City of St. Thomas, what kind of steps are being taken as a smaller city? Just for perspective, what's the population of St. Thomas now?
42,000 St. Thomas is, but with the trading area around it. And of course, we're very close to London. So we share a lot of facilities with London on a lot of things too. The biggest interest, of course, in a community of our size, or almost, I guess, any size, is the safety of the citizens. Now, we have great police forces and fire forces to make sure that happens on everything. But when it becomes a health issue, we have less experts. Right? Everybody knows to phone 911 if you need a police officer or a fire truck. But who do we? So we have, of course, our own health unit. I serve on the board of it also. And I am clear in saying I'm not an expert on health. I am an expert on governance. So I sit on the board and I help the organization run itself properly. But we have some great experts. And Dr. Locke, the medical officer of health, and the executive director, Cynthia. And the health unit does a great job. Ours is a merged health unit with Oxford and Elgin. So it's a larger health unit than most. And that makes it more diverse of what might happen in one community won't always happen in another. But really what's happened over the last couple of weeks is a lot of advice, a lot of conversation about the preparedness. Are we ready for this? What would next steps look like if it got to a certain degree? What can a city do to prepare? What type of plans do we have to have in place? Well, we know someone will turn on a tap and expect water. Someone will turn on a light switch and expect electricity. So these are the functions that a city has to have. There may be some other functions the city has that could go away for a week or two when people might not know, whether it's trash pickup or even snowplow if it was still in the winter. But there's certain critical services that have to be there, regardless of what the manpower of the city can look like. Well, as the mayor of the community, first thing I worry about is the people. And then our own staff. We have to worry about what's the health of our own staff. Should we be having them all come to work still? Or what sort of testing or what else can we do to make it a safe workplace? So we're discussing that. And there's some pretty good plans in place as to what if this? Then what if this?
So what are some of those what ifs?
Well, at what point will we close public buildings? At what point will we try to do as much as we can remotely online? Most of our forms or applications, our requests can all be handled online. I just had a quick conversation with the city manager. Well, what about a building permit? Is it completely electronic now? Can we get it? Can we keep the process going? And yeah, the process is pretty much there. Well, maybe quicker if someone walks in with a piece of paper or talks to the planner, but these are the types of things we may have to look at what point. Does a pandemic require us to close public buildings, including the city hall? Well, it's the center of government. We can't have people not being able, or from social services side, people still need an income to live and housing, and those departments would still have to run. Now, behind what walls or how would it work? Those are the discussions we're having.
So to what the federal government just announced recently some plans to help support employers and employees during this time, to what extent do those things come into play?
Well, we have to think of them, but they're not the first things. And the federal government's good to get out in front. I was there at the end of SARS the last time in a public life and saw what was still carried over. But we need to prepare more than we need to, find the money or find the system. So now it's about preparing, and we're figuring out, okay, so the commitment was made yesterday by the federal government for an overall plan and fairly well funded, plus a great deal of contingency fund to follow it. The province is talking the same way today and doing the next level, which really then municipalities have to do the same thing. I mean, the discussions we've had are, well, we can't worry about the budget. Let's just do what we need to do. We, of course, all work frugally, but let's make our people safe and our facilities safe before we get there. So it's not about that. It's about planning for the safety of people and thinking of that first and heading that way.
Okay. So have any decisions been taken now around? I know there's some communities have, said they're not going to have certain parades and gatherings and so on.
Well, we will make those decisions, but only on the advice of the experts. We've really have talked and said, look, you know, I'm a restaurateur by trade and a parliamentarian, a politician, city manager, fantastic organizing people. But we have people in our health units and even working for the city that actually have a better ability to share good information. We should do that. We've certainly been in contact through our own public health, with our hospitals, with the other health carers, and you know, we have our own emergency planning committee that has to know what would happen if something happens. But those decisions really won't be made by the mayor, as much as, you know, that sounds fun. They'll be communicated, perhaps. We'll share the information, but the information of how, when, and why will be done by the experts in the health system.
Okay. So you mentioned the SARS mm-hmm. in 2002, 2003. Stephen Harper's government you were part of came yeah. into office in 2004.
Right.
We were still grappling with some of the impacts of SARS even then.
Yes.
So do you have any sort of, I think without question, we'll have had some impacts already economically. World economics have been impacted. It's going to trickle down to local.
It's very predictable. We've seen some very similar things that will happen, and there also are some good preventative things that happen much quicker this time because we've been through SARS and H1N1 and some other things between then. They're not all the same. They all act slightly different, and health experts will tell us why what worked for one might not work for another. But naturally, humans hear the news and start to do some self work on this. We're already seeing a little less gathering, a little less being out in public. Some are completely ignoring it. Others are being really hunkered down. And we'll see over the next little while, probably more of that. If I don't have to go out, I won't go out. Now, that starts to affect the economy. That affects whether people are showing up for work, kids are showing up for school. We got March break coming up this week, so that gives us a bit of buy time. But people who are calling in sick to work, people who are not attending sporting events or other, you know, even movies or restaurants. So we'll watch to see how much more of the economy. The other thing is, of course, borders will start to have, there'll be a tightening of how fast products are moving across the borders, those types of things. So industries have to always watch for that too. Now, we've gone through, and just in the last little while, a full propane shortage and then some railway blockades. So some of the industries have made a number of contingency plans over the number of years anyway, how to better get their product to where it needs to go. Most of those will click in naturally now anyway, but we'll see whether it carries on.
some travel and tourism impacts as well.
Yeah, we've got flights canceled, by the hour now. Where else isn't something happening? As I said, our community has it. I think most businesses have now that ability to electronically accomplish most of your job from a conference call or online situation. So that gets you by a short period of time without having to have meetings or travel for meetings. However, then there are some people who have already traveled and now have to worry about how they're getting back home. And it becomes more individual in that case. But we've become fairly resilient in this new electronic age, and provided the internet stays on, we're all going to be in good shape, right? It is about communicating. It's about telling people what they can do and can't do. As you say, making good health decisions based on the experts' facts about whether it is okay for a group of people to meet or not. But right now we're at that individual choice point of view. I don't think I'm going to go. Well, okay, that is a personal choice. So let's honor our employees' choices on some of those too.
Now we're going to take a short break before getting into the rest of the conversation with Mayor Preston. Municipal World's executive membership delivers a powerful toolkit for managing Canada's towns and cities. You get the most complete suite of print and online news, plus high-impact communication services and exclusive member content, as well as information to help you and your community stay a step ahead. Executive membership is sized to fit your organization, from 5 to 50 users per membership, and members report saving an average of $1,287 per year just on job postings. It's a smart investment that can quickly pay for itself. Become a member today. Without further delay, let's jump back into the rest of the conversation with Joe. So maybe I'll ask you to take your mayor's hat off now and put on your business hat. And what sort of advice would you give to small businesses in a community that might be experiencing some impacts to this.
And they will. And that's where, it really gets much harder, because that's never made back. The job that the city doesn't do today gets done tomorrow. Someone doesn't get a building permit today or doesn't get a trash pickup today, it does get caught back up. But most small businesses and entrepreneurs, if they, we talk about it in bad weather, and this would be the same thing. If a customer doesn't visit a local restaurant today, it doesn't mean he's going back twice tomorrow. It's not made back up. It truly is a loss. We want to make sure that people aren't not thinking of their employees, that your employees need to be kept safe too. And if they need to stay home, they need to stay home. But that's always the hardship, that usually the smaller the business, the harder it is on them to get by in a time like this. If you take 10% of the people saying, I'm going to just kind of hunker down in my living room tonight and watch Netflix instead of going out, well, that's a 10% loss in local businesses, usually small businesses. Communities thrive on those. And so we want to make sure there's not, I won't say bad news, there's not stupid news out there, that we really are doing the right things for the right purposes. Let's continue to support your communities and those businesses in the best ways that you can until such time as you're told you shouldn't. Then at that point, we'll all make a plan as to how to help these people survive.
So one of the other aspects that we've kind of talked about is the impact on people who suffer from anxiety and depression in your community. What kinds of, there's a lot of negative news right now, and this has an impact as well. And also social isolation. As people are, being advised to stay home if they don't have to travel and so on. What sort of things do you...
Well, two things, and there's really two parts to your question. The first one is, let's all stay about as positive as we can about our current circumstances, and we recognize there's a negativity side to it. There is a virus and a pandemic, and we need to deal with it. But let's still get along with our fellow man. That's not the reason to go buy up Costco. Okay, it just is.
Save some for your friends.
No, right. and if you did go do that, please share. right, that's that side. So that's just plain good human nature, good old fashioned community driven support. Let's make sure that all stays in place. And a little bit of it carries over to the second one you talked about. There is social isolation when we get to this. It is. You know, it didn't matter where I went today. I realized, maybe I shouldn't sit right beside that person. You know, there's a bit of that going on, but that doesn't mean don't smile. Don't, you know, please say hi. Right. You know, we're having a little bit of fun about whether to fist bump or to handshake. You can't stop a politician from handshaking, by the way, but we need to keep the social graces alive regardless, because there are people with anxiety problems, with depression problems, most certainly, who, if the world gets just a little bit more depressing, it's a dangerous place for them now. And so now we're not talking about a virus you can catch. We're talking about a mental condition that is out there. So we need to keep that communication as lighthearted but factual as we can, as accurate as we can, and don't, and the speculation not in it, to keep people's life situation where it should be or could be in a better way. We've been looking at a lot at some mental health issues in our community and different, you know, whether it's addiction problems or other things. And we need to keep that focus, that mental health focus, out there through whatever is happening. And if we get into a full pandemic crisis, then we need to also think of it in that vein also.
So some of the advice that we've heard, you know, as you said, you know, maybe don't shake hands, but can bump fists, wash your hands frequently, don't touch your face, but remember to smile at people, reach out to people who, you know, are at home in self-isolation.
Don't put a hoodie on and cover it. I mean, this is not, there is, you know, we can't get into isolation suits and just not. We're still humans. We still are better when we interact than when we're not. So we need to do things like this, right? This podcast and some other things where we're really getting out a message of what's real, what's not, what can do, what's bad. And let's tell the truth and talk about how we can treat each other better.
I think I read the lines somewhere, you know, this is a global pandemic, but you know, the fact of that is we are in fact all in this together. So
certainly, and we'll all come out of it and come through it in a better way together too. We don't maybe yet know the seriousness of it, but we know where we are today. And today is, we can still do a lot of things in our community, and there's maybe some behaviors we shouldn't do. Well, fine. Let's keep doing the other fun stuff you like, and I'll get my Wii game back out, I guess, if I have to stay home. But no, look, it is also about staying in touch. You know, some people who are already isolated. We all do. Let's keep in touch with them. Those phone calls, visits, emails, texts, whatever it could be, is also another way to engage your community in as positive a way as you can. Stay in touch and make sure people are doing well.
Now, as we look to the future, mm-hmm. and again, thinking back to your own experience in government post SARS, we are on the other side of this, what's that path to recovery?
Yeah, you know, we saw that in the post SARS piece, that it was a while for some things to come away. There was some pre-screening at airports and other stuff that took a while afterwards to come away. People have to be sure it's over, if you will. But there are probably some good societal habits we should keep from all of this. I mean, I keep seeing, you should be washing your hands more. Well, you should be washing your hands more all the time. Who told you could stop washing your hands, right? We should be careful about the transition of diseases or bacteria in any way. We should always be that way, but it doesn't have to be, let's frighten people about it. Let's make jokes about it. Let's have a good time making sure everybody's doing it. That's the type. But what you asked, what stays afterwards? And there will be the transition pieces, the airport screenings and I would be certain that the hospitals are doing a fair bit of screening and even not letting reducing some visitors and that type of thing as we speak. Some of those things are done for a good purpose. Then they get relaxed more and more over time when there isn't a crisis. we need to, again, use scientific facts as to why we do those things. And if it's needed, we should do it. If it's not needed, we shouldn't. There'll be also a lot of certain countries have already closed their borders. Certain countries have already been picked as hotspots, if you will. It will take a while for those economies to recover back to. It'll be, well, I'm not going there. I remember what happened there during, you know.
A little bit of that continuing chill on travel and tourism in the short term anyway.
Well, and most of us, you know, think a year ahead at least on travel and tourism. So if you thought a year ago and now are changing your plans, fine, you know, those things can be changed. But if this was the time you would have been thinking of next summer or next fall, you're now not, I'm not going there. It can't happen. I'm not going to do that. And we need to be able to, okay, let's, we all should learn how to do last minute club. No, right? Because, you know, we the world still has to go forward and we still want to be able to do the best things for ourselves. And so that's the type of thinking that is going to have to change over the next 6 months. People will, certain countries of the world right now are taking quite a beating and they're dealing with the problem inside their own four walls as best they can. But in just a short period of time, they're going to be going, well, where is everyone? What happened? And what do we do? How do we come back? And Ontario and St. Thomas are going to have to do some similar things, depending on where this ends up in the next little while.
So for now, are there any, as we wrap up here, are there any thoughts you'd like to share with fellow community leaders in Canada?
Yeah, I think I joked a bit about it at the beginning, but listen to your experts. There are some great experts out there. We employ some fantastic people in the federal healthcare health unit, health system, the provincial health system, and in our local health boards. We employ some fantastic experts that really are talking to each other a lot right now and can give us the best what to do next situations. We've grown up into this Google society where I know better because I looked it up. And my sister's aunt's hairdresser's mother said that we should do this. Well, that's not the best place. So, as a community leader, it's to get your information pure and firsthand wherever you can and make decisions, sometimes hard decisions, based on that. So let's make sure everybody's doing that.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Joe Preston, for joining us.
Well, this was fun.
It's been a great pleasure chatting with you. I want to thank Mayor Joe Preston for taking the time to sit down and chat with us, and thank you for listening to this special episode of the MW Shares podcast. You can discover new episodes every Wednesday on Apple and Google Podcasts, or find us on our website, municipalworld.com. We'd like to hear your ideas. If you have a topic you'd like to see covered in a future episode, simply drop us an email at stories@municipalworld.com. Also, don't forget to rate, comment, and subscribe. I'm Susan Gardner for Municipal World, and we'll be back with more stories next week.